We're going to read together this evening from Matthew's Gospel. Still continuing our thoughts on this theme of what it will be and what it will be like when the Lord Jesus returns. There is absolutely no doubt whatsoever that the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to earth as a baby, who lived his life for 3 years or thereabouts, proclaimed the kingdom of God and then died on Calvary's cross for our sins, was raised from the dead, ascended into heaven. And just as certain as all of that was, it is equally certain that one day he will return. We're thinking about that as we look at this theme. We're very much drawing this series of what did Jesus do, what does Jesus do, and what will Jesus do. This seems kind of drawing to a close. It's maybe only another 2 or 3 weeks as we look at this whole theme together. But this evening, I want you to look with me at a passage that, first of all, uses words Jesus spoke very directly to his hearers to make it clear that none of us knows when he will return. And then we'll look at a parable that Jesus used to illustrate that point. So we're going to begin to read, if we would, at verse 36 of Matthew 24. There we read that no one knows about that day, that is, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. 2 men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. 2 women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of, he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then as we move into chapter 25, Jesus tells a parable. He says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming. They all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. This is the word of God. I'm going to take some time now to look at what we've just read together in the word of God. Before we read it, we said it in its context. This is speaking of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ over recent weeks, we've noted how there are always, it seems, on the one hand, those who are desperate to know when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. And it seems that there have always been other groups who are desperately keen to tell us. And sadly, one feeds the other. Those who are desperately keen to know are those who seem most ready to believe those who are ready to tell them. But you know, friends, for 2,000 years now, there have been people who have been quick to tell us when the Lord's returning. Yet the opening verses that we read this evening should be enough to say to us, don't listen to them. They don't know. Let me remind you of what we read in verse 36 of Matthew chapter 24. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Now, I've heard people talk about different levels of security. And there's things that anybody can find out, and then there's other levels where only a certain group of people can find out, and then right at the top level, it is very, very much restricted access to what people can find out. I've got a friend who works, he's not a spy, I'm always quick to say that, and he's also quick to say that, but he works at one of those sort of levels. There are two jobs that he has had now, and I've been a referee for both of them. In both cases, someone has travelled from London to interview me. And I'm just the referee. And someone has travelled from London to meet me and interview me in order to verify the reference that has been given for the man. But if we're thinking about levels of access for information, there is surely no level that is higher than the one we read of here. The return of the Lord Jesus. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So that's the first thing that I want you to notice this evening as we think about this theme. If people tell you that they know when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, then friends, they know something he doesn't even know. Because the Lord Jesus will not return until the Father tells him to return. You might say, but what's keeping him back? My answer to that is patience. But we'll come to that before we're finished this evening. Patience. These are the words of Jesus that we're reading here. This isn't just someone else saying Jesus doesn't know. Jesus himself says, not the Son, but only the Father. And then he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Anyone here seen the film, Noah?
Yeah.
You've seen it, Alice? You've seen it, Phil? I've not seen it. You've seen it, Billy. A few of you have seen it. I've not seen it. Thanks, Billy. Thanks for that advice. Thank you. Because can I say, in all honesty, all that I need to know that is true about Noah, I find here. I don't need to buy a ticket and go to the cinema to see it. The Bible tells us all we need to know about Noah. What it does tells us here is that it will be as it was in the days of Noah, that so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now there's two things that we want to notice about that. The first thing is the Bible tells us quite clearly that if we think the world is messed up today, it was no less messed up then. It was so messed up then that God made what must have been a momentous decision for him. And that was that he was going to destroy all life on the face of the earth, with the exception of one man, his wife, their three sons and their wives, and the animals that God would bring to that great vessel, the ark, that they would be spared. But there's something else that we notice here. Not simply as we think of the sort of world that was and realize that our world is no better than the world of Noah in his day. But we also notice how they were living their lives. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage. They were basically just getting on with their life. as if no judgment would ever come upon them. They were getting on with life, doing all the normal stuff, all their daily stuff, and they couldn't care less as to whether one day they would be held accountable for how they were living. You know, the Bible tells us that even by the very world God has created, He's made it clear to us that He is there, He is the Creator. We should worship Him. We should honor Him. And just as it was then, it's the same now. In fact, Paul in Romans chapter 1 tells us that man has seen this. Everything that we need to know about God in terms of His existence is there plainly to be seen. But man doesn't see it. And instead he has gone after his own lies. So they were doing all the regular stuff, right up to the day Noah entered the ark. You know, I've not seen the film, but I can't help but imagine that as Noah is constructing this great vessel, and it was a great vessel, it was huge. I'm not a naval architect, but I'm told that the actual design of it was the perfect design for the purpose that God intended. If you were to say to someone, I need a vessel that is going to be able to survive, the rising floodwaters, that is going to provide protection and shelter for a vast number of animals, and all these sort of things. And a naval architect was to sit down and say, okay, you've given us the design brief, we've spent some time on this, and this is what we think you need. I've been told that what they would almost certainly come up with is very, very similar to the ark that God told Noah to build. That shelter, that vessel that would save them all. Can you imagine Noah building this? Also keep in mind at this time that Noah is building this in a place where he's not building it on a beach with sort of, you know, logs and rollers going down so that when it's finished he's going to get a lot of people and they'll push it down into the water. That's not what's happening. It's as if Noah's building this in the middle of dry land. And I can't help but wonder that there were people walking by saying, what rhymes with Noah? Nutty. What's he doing building this? He was being obedient to God. He was one who would be obedient to God. They knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. Imagine that. The Bible says that up until that time, there hadn't been rain as we know it. There was a dew came up from the ground and that watered the ground. Anything that was growing would water from that. But rain as we would know it, they knew nothing of that. And then one day water started to fall from the sky. We were used to it. We'd call it rain. They weren't used to it. And we're used to the fact that no matter how long it rains, sooner or later it stops. And this went on day after day, night after night, until the Bible tells us the whole face of the earth was covered in water. This was something that had never happened before. Some of you are maybe saying, where are you getting all this from if you've not seen the film? Well, I'm getting it from the book of Genesis. I'm getting it from the book of Genesis, where it says, for 40 days the flood kept coming on the earth, and as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. You know, there are some that would say, oh, well, whatever this flood was, it could only have been localized. No. All the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 20 feet. Every living thing that moved on the earth perished. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life died. Only Noah was left, and those with him in the ark,
the waters flooded the earth for 150 days. That's what happened. Just like that. Just like that. And what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 24 is that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. You know, there are people when we would tell them, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is returning. We will be accountable to God for how we have lived our lives. And they will laugh at us the way they laughed at Noah. And the way it happened with Noah, Jesus says, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. It will be the separating when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And therefore verse 42 says, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Keep watch. It's going to happen. It's going to happen suddenly. So you need to be ready. Verse 43 says, but understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. You know, some of you know, maybe not all of you know, but a few of you would at least know that about two or three weeks ago, my son was sleeping in the middle of the night one night and suddenly he heard some noises. He doesn't live here, by the way. He lives on the other side of the world. But he heard some noises. He came downstairs and found someone downstairs in the lounge. And he shouted at him, what are you doing? And there was some sort of garbled excuse about this chap being chased and he was hiding. And Adam said, well, you can hide out on the patio while I call the police and then you can tell them who's chasing you. Of course, by the time Adam had turned to grab his phone to phone the police, the guy had gone. He wasn't waiting out on the patio to tell the police. I'm not going to go too far into this story. Just suffice to say that the police arrived quite quickly. And had no sooner started taking a statement from Adam than his phone rang and he said, there's someone in a house 8 doors up the street. Same chap. A while later, the policeman's back at the house where Adam lives with a bag of things. He said, do you recognise any of these? Adam had a look and said, well, that's the watch my mum and dad gave me for my 18th birthday. He didn't even know it had gone. Well, look what Jesus says here. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. Well, for a start, Adam would have checked the patio doors were locked because someone had unlocked them and he didn't know. And also, I reckon if he knew that somebody was going to be trying to break into the house that night, he probably wouldn't have been upstairs sleeping. But notice what Jesus says. Because we know that that's the case, if we know that something like that could happen suddenly and we're prepared for it, so also, says Jesus, you also must be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Do you see what I'm really underlining here? It's not as if we're going to be told, now Jesus is coming in 24 hours, you better get ready. Or Jesus is going to be coming in 7 days' time or a month's time and you better get ready. The Bible doesn't tell us that. The Bible tells us Jesus will return. He will return in judgment. And he will return like a thief in the night. We're going to come to that later. That's language the Bible uses more than once. So what else is there here? Who then, we say, is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servant? You know, this part when Jesus begins to say these words in verse 45 and then takes it right through to the end of chapter 24 is speaking about the importance of keeping doing what God has given us to do until the Lord Jesus comes. Because those who follow him have been given plenty to do. We're called to live our lives for him. We're called to serve one another. We're called to tell other people about him. We've been given all of this work to do. And the last thing, believe me, that we should be doing as believers is saying, well, I doubt if he's coming back anytime soon, so
Let's just sit down and take things easy.
That's the last thing that we should be doing, says Jesus. We should be ready and serving him and working for him until he returns. Well, Matthew chapter 25, the first 13 verses are a parable. Parables were stories that Jesus told, that were practical stories that people could relate to, they could understand them, but they also conveyed a spiritual message. And often Jesus would use a parable alongside a truth that he was wanting to teach people. What is the truth he was teaching us? We read it there in Matthew 24. To be ready for the return of Christ. And then he gives us this parable. And the parable is set in the context, as I mentioned earlier, of a wedding. Now, in our days, the bridesmaids accompany the bride. But the picture we get from here is a culture where the bridesmaids, as it were, and that is how we would probably best picture the idea of the 10 virgins that are spoken of as the bridesmaids. They not only have a responsibility for preparing the bride for the wedding, but also of meeting the bridegroom, being ready for his arrival. So, Jesus tells this story. He says, imagine there are 10 virgins, bridesmaids if you like. They've got their lamps, they've gone out to meet the bridegroom. The only trouble is, 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. And what does Jesus say is the difference between the foolish ones and the wise ones? Well, the difference is this. The wise ones, along with their lamp, and these were oil lamps, they also were carrying containers of oil with them. Because they knew, just in the same way it seems that sometimes it's kind of the done thing for the bride to turn up late, sometimes the bridegroom would turn up late. I've never had a wedding where that happened, but obviously it happened then. And I've been told it can certainly happen in other countries like Africa. Well, the ones who were wise were making provision for the reality that the bridegroom might not come right at the moment they expected him. The ones who were foolish, who weren't ready, had not made that provision. They had not availed themselves, as it were, of what could have led them and made them ready for the coming of the bridegroom. It's a long time coming. They all became drowsy and fell asleep. Probably yawning. We've got a group here of 5 or 10. Yawning's contagious. I can imagine it all happening. They all became drowsy and they fell asleep. And suddenly at midnight the cry rings out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. The wise ones said, sorry, we do that, there won't be enough for you and for us. We've made provision. We can't, as it were, transfer our provision to you. If we did that, then we'd be giving away that which will gain access for us. No, go and, you know, and buy some for yourselves. Trouble is, it's midnight. And the oil seller's fast asleep in bed. And while they're on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrives. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet. And the door was shut. You know, the language that Jesus is using is just as firm as the language of that day when the door of the ark was shut. The opportunity was gone. And you know, dear friends, that's a warning that the scriptures give us. That the opportunity to be taken is to be taken when we have the opportunity. And not after that opportunity has gone. That opportunity to trust in the Lord Jesus. It says, later the others also came. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. You see, friends, let me just very quickly recap as we wrap things up this evening. What Jesus is saying to us, and first of all, what he said in Matthew 24, and what he then says in the parable, is this: I am coming. You don't know when I'm coming. It will be sudden. Be ready. How can we be ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, friends, we can't be ready by imagining that somehow, because we've surrounded ourselves by Christian friends, we are going to be part of that circle. Nor can we satisfy ourselves by thinking, well, as soon as I hear I'm coming, then I'll get down on my knees and ask for my sins to be forgiven then, and everything will be fine. We don't get ready by turning to others round about us and saying, well, you know the Lord Jesus. I'm your friend. Surely I'm part of this as well. You know, I think back even to my teen years. And remember people who were part of the YF. That was the youth fellowship, that's what we called it. The teenagers within the church. And I look back and I think about them now. And I remember seeing a difference. There were those who then, when they got into their 20s, continued to go on and worship God and serve God in various ways and become part of the life of the church. And there was others who just went off and got busy with work and busy with all manners of things. And before you knew it, there was no evidence of any spiritual life at all. Yet there was a day when they had sat with us. You know, Jesus spoke about those who would be side by side in a field or even side by side in bed. One would be taken and the other wouldn't. As I was looking at these verses and trying to think of an illustration, I remembered something I saw a couple of weeks ago on television. I remembered seeing three or four people fighting over a carton wrapped in clear plastic of bottles of water. They were fighting over these cartons, and they were trying to get some of those bottles of water that had been brought into them to bring relief in Iraq. But over a little bit from them, there was someone handing out supplies of water. They were fighting over trying to get water from one another, when in fact the one who could supply it was already there and ready to give it freely to those who would. Friends, we can't get into heaven, as it were, on the back of someone else's provision, when there's a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who says to each and every one of us, you want living water? You want life? Come to me. Come to me for that living water. He's the one who can give us life. Do you know why he can give us life? Because he has already given his life for us. The life that lasts forever, that you and I need to be part of God's eternal heaven and not his eternal punishment. That life he gives us in the Lord Jesus. And he calls us to come to him for that life. He invites us to come to him. He calls us to invite others to come to him. He doesn't invite me to say to you, come to me for eternal life. I hope you've never heard me say that. But he calls me as a preacher to invite you to come to Christ for eternal life. To come to Christ for forgiveness. To come to Christ for salvation. To come to Christ for hope. And to come to Christ now. Because I don't know. And the angels don't know. And the Son doesn't know. Only the Father knows when Christ will return. The whole theme of everything we have said this evening is about being ready. Remember at the beginning, I said some might be asking the question, well, why hasn't he come? Surely if he was going to come, he would have come by now. And what did I say to you? What was the word I used? Can anyone remember?
Patience.
Patience. I want to read some verses to you before we finish this evening. These verses are in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. And is speaking about the day of the Lord, the day when Christ returns. Now just listen to what I'm saying. First of all, this is verse 3. You must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. Don't know if that's a word we use an awful lot. It's mocking, basically. Mocking people. Laughing. They'll say, where is this coming, he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. Noah's flood. By these waters also, the world was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient. That's what I was meaning when I said to you, patience. That's why he hasn't returned. Patience. He is patient with you. Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. It means to turn from our sin, to turn from our thoughts that somehow God would accept us just because of who we are. When in reality, the only way that God will ever accept any one of us is on account of not what we are, but what Christ has done. And giving his life for us on the cross, to turn from those notions, turn from sin and believe in him. But notice how Peter continues, if you have your Bibles open at 2 Peter 3. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The same language Jesus used. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed it coming. A little bit further down, Paul says, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. The fact that God is patient means there is still for each and every one of us here and each and every one we know the opportunity of salvation. That comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible doesn't call simply us to be ready, although it clearly does. But it calls us also to shine as lights, as a witness, a testimony to what God has done, so that we also are telling others of the Lord Jesus, who loved us, has given himself for us, and one day will come for all who are trusting in him. The question is, are we? Are we ready? Have we put our trust in the Lord Jesus for salvation? Pray we have, and if there are those who haven't, then understand that you can by simply turning from your sin, asking God's forgiveness, and believing his promise of new life. There are many of us here who would be delighted to talk about how that can happen. Some of you came with Steve. Steve and I would be delighted to talk. Others would have come with others or just be here this evening. We'd love to tell you how that can happen. We're going to sing this evening in closing. An old chorus. Although it's got some verses. It's maybe quite an upbeat song. It's an old one. But many of us will know it. But it reminds us of the theme of what we've been thinking about tonight. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning.
Hebrews chapter 10 says, "For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved." Father, may it be that indeed by your grace we can say we believe. Not only have believed, but we do believe in the Lord Jesus as our Savior. May we know him and know this glorious hope as we await his return. We ask in Jesus' precious name, asking that now you would dismiss us with your blessing, the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.